We have Scott Pruitt running the EPA, which is like finding an atheist to be fun.
I just had a Fringoli flashback.
Is anybody concerned about nepotism?
Which is why everyone was like, Hillary's so boring. I'm like, yeah, because she explains to you how things work. Whereas like other people are just like, we're going to do this. And people are like, what about that? They're like, no, we're going to do this. And then the time comes to actually do that. And they're like, oh, I can't do that.
What up, world? Welcome to another episode of Meripod. Today is...
Funky intro.
Today is the 25th of April, 2017. We're recording this episode at 6:23 p.m. Today, we are missing our partner in politics and policy, John Kelly. he's heading to a wedding, so he's not going to be able to make it with us.
Preparing to go south of the border and undermine that wall.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Undermine, like, literally, like, you put a mine under the wall.
Yes.
It should have.
Well, in Berkeley, California, we have Tyler Mayo with us. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm good. Thanks, Blake.
Nice to see your face. And in Lafayette, Colorado, John Anderson. How's it going?
Hi, Blake. Good. How are you?
I'm good, boys. This should be a fun one. So the title of this podcast today, this episode, is Trump's 100 days, hashtag fail, hashtag snowflake.
We had a discussion before the podcast about how annoyed we are that the right wing has commandeered the term snowflake, because they like to complain a lot about a lot, so we're annoyed by that. So mm-hmm. we're appropriating the term.
And we
Trump also really is a snowflake.
So whiny. It's so annoying.
He's most definitely a snowflake. And we tried to be polite. It's the best thing we've come up with, so I hope you all like it.
He got lots of 14. Participation ribbons.
What is that, a baker's dozen? Plus one?
Yep, 13.
Yeah. Baker's dozen plus one, yeah.
Oh, a fortnight of podcasts.
But we're gonna review our top three things. I don't know, favorite things or just
most
notable
consequential
things.
I think.
Yeah, consequential notable. Things. Yeah.
Yeah,
I went with most consequential. That was my like, okay, metric.
Yeah, the items, the things that Trump has done in his first 100 days that have popped out at us the most as individuals. We're going to discuss some of those things here today. So, but I mean, there's way too many things to cover, obviously.
That's how we got to do top two.
Which is actually, yeah. You know, and that itself is impressive. The fact that there's more topics than we can actually cover in a single podcast that he's done that were kind of just kept up or
like before the podcast I got on foreign policy, and I think Sam Walt had an article had an article about Trump's first 100 days that said the one thing that he has accomplished was normalizing craziness, basically. And I was like, that I wish I had that on my list. Like, I can rip that off right now, but I want to put that as an honorable mention. Like quite an accomplishment.
He normalized
for
crazy.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. Like, we're just used to it now, which I can't decide if that's like, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe America is like so brilliant at adaptation that we can even survive Donald Trump. Or he's ruining all the norms and values that we've had as a country and, like, darkness.
Well, he can't be the first one that's normalized crazy, right? Who else? Like, Hitler normalized crazy, right?
I mean, Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can just stay in America. We don't have to go. We don't have to cross borders.
Thomas Jefferson wrote, "All men are created equal," and slept with his slave and had 5 children with her. So, like, there's been some normalization of crazy shit for a while.
Yeah, totally.
Fucking Thomas Jefferson.
So, but at this day and age, I think that is an accomplishment of some kind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Say it.
We should all hate it and fight it.
Scared to say.
But should we? Do you guys want to go around and in maybe descending order and talk about each of our and then we can Kelly also supplied his three things, so we can pop those in.
Yeah, let's take turns, maybe. Yeah, go around, or do you want to hit all three? And
no, let's take turns. Let's do three, and then go around, and then two, and then one.
You want to kick it off, Anderson?
Yeah. So I, for the first one, I had the protests of the travel ban at airports as the third most consequential thing that happened thus far. It has to. It is connected to my number two, which I will make the point later.
So this is your third.
But this is my third. Well, yep.
Okay, you're going to go backwards.
Save the best for last. Go backwards. and so it was number one. It to me, it solidified the resistance. Like, it was spontaneous. It wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. Everybody went to the airports, and that really set the tone for the way that that issue was viewed in the country, and it also really locked in everybody's mode of resistance and really showed that people were game on this.
Oh yeah.
And I think that had a huge impact not only on the travel ban itself, but everything going forward. That was like one of his first policy moves, and it just sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Aljub said that was also mine, my number three. So, but my, I was taking more of the perspective. I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about, but I guess my perspective on another thing, along with the resistance, like showing the power and the commitment to the resistance, at least in initial stages, was the way the judges reacted, the blocking of it, both times, right? Twice. It happened twice. Yep. So the kind of the resistance within the government itself, to,
and the fact that Trump complied with the courts, I think is significant. Like, he could have basically said fuck off, which he didn't. He said we'll see you in court, and that was, you know, like, we would have had a constitutional crisis if he hadn't done that.
Oh, totally.
And so
yeah,
it's a good thing that he did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean. I mean, I imagine out of all the states in the country, somebody was going to step up, right?
Yeah, and who was it?
Whitey? Robert?
No, first it was Washington and...
Yeah, it was a woman. It was a judge who was a woman in... yeah, I forget where. But yeah, the second time it was Hawaii.
Yeah,
guy in Hawaii. Somewhere else.
Right, right.
But yeah. Hell yeah, those states. Good work. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
This is why federalism is cool. Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Blake, what was yours?
So I guess I didn't really number them in importance. But I guess if I were to go backwards in importance, I would say my number three then, because I'll count down here, would be probably when the Trump administration and even the military was misinformed on where the naval fleet was headed.
You mean they lost a fucking aircraft carrier?
Yeah. I think it was an aircraft carrier, though, and then it was also like...
It was a strike group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
the escorts.
Like three or four ships, right?
I think it was four ships, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they...
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
They had planned to do military exercises, I believe, with Australia.
Yeah.
And so they were coming around and then through the China Sea, I think, and then around Singapore and then to Australia or something like that, I think was the route. And they friggin' said that they were headed to South Korea, the North Korea area, as
deterrent.
Yeah. But it's like, how do you have such poor communication with whoever's in command of the ship and the Navy? And like, obviously the Australians were like, hey, last minute, let's do an exercise. Woo-hoo, you know,
yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that was on the books for a while. So how do you not know that?
But I think, I mean, this symbolizes a lot of things about number one. One of the things, and we'll get to this a little later too, is that Trump has been surprisingly ineffective. Like,
Right.
I thought that he was going to not be good at his job, but this has been remarkable. And it's been up and down the administration and also the Republican Party. It's been amazing. And the sheer incompetence of not knowing where an aircraft carrier is for me domestically reassuring, because like, I don't think that Trump will be able to execute on the terrible policies that he wants to enact. But on the other hand, in terms of foreign policy, it's really fucking scary, because the way that wars happen is miscalculations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so right now, the rest of the world, our enemies are fucking laughing at us.
Oh, we look super.
They're like, are you serious? You didn't know where your aircraft carrier was? How are you supposed to like fight a war if you don't even know where a goddamn floating runway is? So yeah. That's number one. And then you're going to have the, like, our allies are probably shitting their pants right now. If you're South Korea and you're Japan, you're like, man, there's no way they can execute on this.
So,
yeah. And so either
no
way.
Risk of a war. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like competence really, really matters in terms of foreign policy. Oh, it doesn't no doubt matter who you are. Like, we have to have a general level of competence if we're going to maintain peace in the world. And the fact that they don't know where their aircraft carrier is scares the crap out of me.
So, I mean, yeah, and it sounded like it was kind of a miscommunication. And then by the time they realized that it was headed to Australia for exercise, they decided not to announce it because it would just make the whole situation that much more confusing/embarrassing. So,
but that's such fucking amateur.
Well, yeah, no doubt. Here's what I'm confused about. So, like, when Obama took office, right, Korea kind of did something similar, and didn't he send, was it a destroyer or an aircraft carrier out there?
I don't know.
But that's
a thing that we do. Like, China will piss us off, and we'll send a carrier.
Right, but this was specifically with North Korea. It was right at the beginning of his term, and so he sent a ship out there. And so he sent a ship out there, and that ship went out there. My confusion is this. Did they not, like, contact the Navy and be like, hey, send a ship there? Was there just no communication at all? Was the Navy like, no, we're not going to do that? Because, like, what, did they not say anything? Did they not give a command to send a ship there?
Yeah, I don't know what the breakdown was.
Yeah, so it's like
something like Trump was like, send an aircraft carrier, and people were like, okay, and he was like, yeah, there's an aircraft carrier.
And then what, the military generals were like, oh, it's already headed there. Okay, so that they didn't inquire anymore? They didn't, like, communicate?
I mean, here's the thing, like, play a game of telephone, it's really hard, right? And then you multiply that by the federal government, and that's probably what happened.
Multiplied by the federal
but
government.
But it's like, if the president says, like, Obama sent this one ship out there when his, I think it was in his first term, but it's like, did they not even make the call for a ship to go out there then? They just assumed that it was happening?
I don't know. Well, if the Pentagon also, which I think they did, announced that it was going, then there was a miscommunication at the White House and at the Pentagon. So that, to me, again, it's the game of telephone that goes wrong. And that's why these things are really hard and why we want professionals doing this type of thing. Again, it's, well,
but Obama sent a ship out there. It can't be that difficult to be like, hey, send this ship to this sea.
It is. It's not if you have a general requisite level of competence in bureaucracy. But these people don't have that, number one. And the people, on top of that, they haven't filled any positions. Like, right. There are vacancies out the ass.
Yeah.
And so, the person who is like, make sure the aircraft carrier is actually going to where it's going to go, like, that person probably doesn't exist right now, and that phone was ringing and ringing and ringing with nobody to answer.
One of the 400
some turns out, governing the largest institution ever invented by mankind is kind of hard, and it needs competence.
I wonder if there's like an aircraft carrier position in like the 400 some seats that Trump hasn't filled yet.
It's more than that across the. That's probably like
is it 500 seats?
No, that's probably in one department. I think it's a lot more.
Oh, I know. I was just being facetious.
No.
All right, Tyler. All right. What's your number three?
Or I said mine was also the Muslim ban.
Yeah.
But Kelly's. Yeah, yeah. Kelly's.
I think you said quote
two.
It.
Well, he had two, but so I guess I'm gonna choose. I think my which is the new stuff with funding the wall with Mexico.
Fuck the wall.
Yeah, which is fun. So they were gonna fucking they're trying to put it in the budget, and they were like, "We're not gonna pass this budget. We're not gonna if the wall's not in there." And then they were Democrat. It would need like 8 Senate votes that from the Dems or something. And they were like, "Okay, we won't do it." And if there's no budget, then the government shuts down. Okay. And they're like, "We're gonna hold this. We don't care." And then the Democrats were like, "Okay,
so we'll shut down the government." We're learning that Trump is just he bluffs every play. He's like that guy who plays poker, who's just like all in, all in, all in, all in. And eventually that guy gets fucked. Yeah. Like, you can win, you can control the table for a while, but if you're smart, that guy gets fucked. And that's what we're watching right now, everybody.
Yeah.
And they figured it out on the healthcare bill.
Yeah.
Because he was like, pass the bill or I'll fuck you. And he was like, they were like, no. And then he was like, okay, let's move on to taxes. And then everybody's like, yeah, but that's going to be hard. And he was like, all right, well, we'll like bomb Syria or something.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, 15% corporate tax cut. Did you see that?
Yeah, and it's going to balloon the deficit. How about that, fiscal conservatives?
I know.
I don't know, like, if, you know, these people who love business understand what revenue and costs are, but typically you want the revenue to be higher than the costs, and that's a surplus, or you want them to match, and that's a balanced budget. And when you cut all of your revenue but keep costs the same, typically you have what's called a deficit in your budget, and that's a really big problem. I don't know if they know that. I'm a liberal, but I understand the budget. I don't know if these goddamn fiscal conservatives do or not, but that's what's going to happen if you cut corporate taxes to 15%.
No, they don't. That's why they have to use colors of black and red, because they literally don't understand what you just said.
Minus sign.
Yeah, I wonder if they're just like, whatever, you know, we're going to make a lot of money off this, and if we have money, we're going to be fine, because we can hide it in offshore accounts and, like, live in Europe or something, whatever.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
John, I mean, that's number two.
My number two was the Women's March. I think it set the tone for the whole presidency, basically. Like, that was the largest protest in American history, and it came after that dystopian inauguration. And I think that it really, really set the tone for the whole thing. Like, because after that, we spent, like, the first thing that Sean Spicer did was go out and yell at everybody about the inauguration numbers. And that was the first essential public communication out of the White House, was having a dick measuring contest that they lost, and it was, that they didn't even understand.
It was inaccurate.
It was just wrong. So I think that the reason I had the travel ban as number three is because I think that the travel ban locked in what the Women's March started.
Right.
And that was, I think most people, including really the Trump campaign, didn't think they were going to win. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you didn't see a lot of mobilization on the left. Some of that was the Hillary campaign.
Yeah.
And so I think that everybody lost their minds, essentially. It was like, oh my God, this actually happened. And you saw that release of energy at the Women's March. And it has continued, because everybody was like, oh my God, all of these people exist with me. This is amazing. And it set in motion everything we've had so far.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, it was huge, right? And just like, it was huge. And all the people who, you know, maybe never been to a protest in their life, you know?
Oh yeah. I think there's a lot of those people out there.
I went with a person who, that was her first protest.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, you know, I'm sure many of those people haven't been to another protest since. And also many of people have been to other protests or taken other actions since.
Yep. It has made at least people more politically aware.
Yeah. I know of one female young woman who, that was her first, the Women's March was her first march. And she's been going as much as she can now. So,
nice.
It, like,
there you go.
It jacked her up, like gave her.
Yeah, this you adrenaline. Get high yeah. off of it. Yeah. Hey, adrenaline yeah. drunkies, go to yeah. protests.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
just don't break anything break with the stuff. Anarchists. Yeah,
unless it's a bank window. Shameless plug: May 1st, also a big protest. Anybody else want to get out there? Workers' Day, International Workers' Day. This is this year, immigrant Workers' Day. Mm. So if you are one of those people who's itching to get back out there, find the local Workers' Day march near you.
I'll be going to that.
I was very sad I missed the tax march. I had a hockey prospect camp that I could not miss.
Mm-hmm. I was battling fascists, so.
Yeah, no, we potted about that.
Well, fuck me.
Let's see. Is it my turn for number two?
That's my turn.
Yes. No, who? Yeah.
Go whatever. For it,
I want to go. I want to go.
Go for it.
My number two was his policy reversal on Syria, where he was basically just like, we're not going to do anything with Syria. We're like, what? Why would we do anything? And then that was like what he like campaigned on. And then they like used chemical weapons. And he was like, oh, fuck, and bombed them.
So, yeah, that was not very America first.
Yeah, and what's amazing about that is he actually took more direct action towards the Assad regime than Obama ever did.
Yep.
And, like, so not only did
he,
like...
Which would be zero.
Yeah, which, by the way, zero. Right. So not only... I mean, well, we did, but by proxy, right? So, you know, Obama did...
Direct action.
Yeah, but he never took direct, like, action. And I feel like we're still waiting to see how that's going to turn out. I mean, of course, they told the Russians because they had to, and then the Russians told Assad, who pulled out his people out of there, so there wasn't really many. And we're still continuing to bomb, you know, Syria, trying to hit ISIS and, you know, whatever. So, but I just think that it's incredible, like, I think it's one of many things that we've seen where he, like, as with all presidents, right, they campaign on certain things that then end up they can't do, or they change, or they probably learn information they didn't have before and are like, oh, shit. But which is why everyone was like, Hillary's so boring. I'm like, yeah, because she explains to you how things work. Whereas, like, other people are just like, we're going to do this. And people are like, what about that? They're like, no, we're going to do this. And then the time comes to actually do that, and they're like, oh, I can't do that.
It's way more complicated than I thought.
Well, yeah. That's why Obama was like, go ahead, motherfuckers, try it. Yeah. Like, he was the only person in America that didn't think the ACA was going to get repealed, and he was just laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah. Windsurfing or whatever he was mm-hmm.
doing. Yeah, the ACA is way more popular now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Psychology,
number
man.
Two, actually. That was Kelly's number two.
Oh, perfect. Good.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, yeah, we can just, like, touch on that. I mean, both, like, obviously, the failure of the attempt to repeal, well, like, the repeal
and replace. Wait, let's save that.
Okay. Anyways, that was Kelly's number two. Blake, what was your number two?
All right, so my number two was how Trump's basically made Kushdog, Jared Kushner, in charge of everything.
Spoiler alert, in the past, sorry.
From the Middle East to our peace in the Middle East to reforming the government. It's just, like, incredible.
It's hilarious. It's laughable.
Well, and I was watching John Oliver last night, and or the other night. Did you guys see that one? Where he covers...
No.
Where he covers, and he's like, have you ever heard him speak?
I've never heard him speak, actually.
Yeah.
I just see his little rat face, and it's enough for me.
He dubbed in, what's the actor's name, over his, like, over an
interview. Oh, Gilbert Godfrey.
So funny. Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was really funny.
But, I mean, there is some wisdom into being the silent person, you know? Like, it's
Dick
better,
Cheney did that.
It's better to be underestimated, because people never know.
My grandpa... called it Country Dumb, and he would do it, he'd go up and play poker, and he'd purposely, like, screw up some etiquette rules, so everybody thought he was stupid, and then he'd run house on everybody.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, I totally understand the concept, and Ivanka kind of, like, covers it about Kushdog, in an interview that she has, and she's
did
like...
Did you see she got booed in Germany today because she called... Yeah. Trump a champion of family values.
Yeah, totally.
Or the family. She got booed because everybody knows it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Get booed more.
Booing
people and giving them the thumbs down is like one of my favorite ways.
Dude,
of
just, like, I boo people my discontent. All the time.
Boo.
I totally agree.
But
is anybody concerned about nepotism?
Yeah. Right. Oh, your son-in-law happens to be getting a lot of responsibility. Hmm.
Yeah.
And your daughter is now like a special assistant to the president with a security clearance.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
So here's my thought process on it is, like, part of the reason why he's giving him all these things to do. The dude's super young, and Ivanka's already admitted that, like, he's quiet, and there's interviews of people calling him, like clear-headed and simple-minded. So my guess is that this motherfucker is going to try and run for president someday, maybe after Trump.
Oh, for sure, one of them are. Somebody's going to.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're trying to boost up his credentials to keep it in the family, you know, this reign.
Yeah.
And if you don't want a woman as president because you're Donald Trump, I mean, then you'd be putting Kush Dog in there next. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
I think
true. This
is his not vetting process, but this is like his preparation period. He may have asked for this, and there may be some secret plans there down the road 8 years from now.
Well, you know who else is doing a lot of running for president? Mike Pence.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Totally.
Him, like, going to Korea and, like, being all, like, military and shit.
Yeah, right.
Totally auditioning for president.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, this is just, I don't even know.
But I mean, that's, like, a fairly normal political play. Like, you try and set up for the next guy.
Well, at least with Pence, yes. But Kushner, that's just, like, ridiculous. That's more nepotism. Of a dynasty. That's like the whole nepotism thing you're talking about.
It's also like funny because it's like, do people know what they don't like? Like, are they aware of like what comprises what makes what they don't like? What they don't like, because like they're all like drain the swamp, like it's too much of like these elite, and it's like, well, okay, so what that means is people who know each other putting other people that they know in power so that they can all just like hang out together, which is exactly what Trump is doing. So if you didn't like you didn't like a shit sandwich, well, here's a pea burrito, enjoy that. And you're like, not pretty much the same thing, just a different form of excrement,
kind of a loose burrito.
Trump brags that, like, he's got the highest per capita income in his cabinet than, like, any other president. You're like, that is the swamp. That's literally what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all these motherfuckers from Wall Street who got rich on foreclosing other people, Steve Mnuchin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's one of the things that Democrats really, really need to harp on over and over and over and over again is, like, the draining the swamp is a great idea, and Trump is the swamp monster.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, and so we need to hammer that point over and over again.
I just got a flashback of Fringoli.
Yeah.
What?
I just had a Fringoli flashback.
Oh my god, isn't that the sad one?
It's basically the animated version, what is it, late 80s, of Avatar, kind of, in a way. Where the trees are being eaten up by the machine, and like there's little pixies flying around, and like the machine is like, and the oil is like this nasty monster that's eating the forest.
What's the one where the dog dies? Isn't that
Homeward Bound?
Yeah. No, Homeward Bound, no. Old Yeller, yes, but I'm not thinking of that. Anyways, that's really sad. We don't need to talk about dogs dying.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, way to derail.
I'll say Kelly's. Yeah, derail everything we're talking about. Kelly's number one was the defunding of the EPA.
He would.
Yeah, that would be Kelly's.
He's our environmental policy guy, so.
Yeah. I mean, global warming is kind of important, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Well, and we're.
Like, kind of affects everybody.
It's kind of a long-term.
Isn't the United States considered, and like along with, I think, NATO, right? But like, isn't the United States considered a leader in trying to reduce emissions and produce cleaner energy?
We were.
Well,
I mean, we dragged China kicking and screaming into the Paris Agreement, and now we're thinking about backing out of it.
Well, like, that's seriously? My point. Yeah. Like, we are / we will be a were. But we're not quite there yet.
Yeah. No, we have Scott Pruitt running the EPA, which is like finding an atheist to be Pope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're
going to... It is really scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's are really, crucial times like, right now.
When you think on the, like, in 100, 200, 500 years, what is going to be our, like, the Earth is flat moment and, like, our slavery moment, and this could be it.
Yeah, yeah.
When, like, Florida's underwater and everybody's like, fuck off, Trump administration.
I'm just so tired of these lazy people, like, oh, you just want to do this so you can, like, extract a little more oil and, like, just, like, stick to your industrialized guns for, like, a few more years? Like, first of all, if you want to make money, like, invent something new and, like, what do you do? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's not going to last, first of all. And, like, even if it didn't, don't you see the opportunity? Even if you believe wholeheartedly that climate change is fake, that, like, we're gonna like just keep, I don't know, there's like, we're gonna find like more dinosaur bones or something that are gonna, I don't know, that we're gonna like, wouldn't you just like be like, oh well, like all these people believe in this and there could be a huge industry around it, like even it, you know, I could capitalize on this industry.
If you could figure out batteries, you would make a bajillion dollars.
Well, yeah, and people like, already have figured that out, like I mentioned it in a previous podcast. Somebody invented make like these huge two tanks that you put in your basement. They're made up of organic materials and they can store a crap ton of energy from solar panels.
Yeah.
So like we're already getting there. We're doing it, like, especially with companies like Tesla. They just invented a flying car that uses 90% less energy than
drones. Uber promised flying cars by 2020.
Yeah, no, we're already there. We just gotta figure out the regulations and market it. But they've been invented.
We're moving there, but like it's not the consumer. Like it's not. If we were already there, we would have fucking flying cars.
Well, they've invented them. Like they're there. We just have to figure out.
But I don't have a flying car.
Well, no, what John is trying to say, Blake, is that he can't live out his Star Wars fantasy right now, and that's a problem.
But I mean, that shit exists right now. It's just figuring out like the policy. You have to have your pilot's license to fly them. They're super expensive. Like Uber's probably going to.
Well, that's
be
what
one
I mean. They're super expensive. They're not like but consumer.
Uber's going to be one of the first companies to have it, and so you can do an airlift.
They'll normalize it. Yeah, they'll normalize it.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah, it's not ubiquitous. It's not like I can go to Walmart and buy, you know, a flying car.
No, not yet. But like, as far as the technology goes, we're there. It's already, it's...
For me, if we're there, you can buy it at Walmart.
Well, you can't buy a Tesla at Walmart.
Then we're not there with Tesla either.
Well, but you can go buy, like, the newest Tesla for, like, $35,000.
Oh, my God, you guys. John, what's your number one?
Well, hold on. I just want to point out, too, two things before we walk away from this EPA point. I met a guy at a gig last week who owns a farm just outside of Brighton, and it used to be like a cattle, or they grew like hay or whatever to feed cattle, and then eventually they ended up getting an offer from an oil company, and now they have fracking going on up there, and he was telling me about just how lucrative it was, and... Yeah, just how lucrative it was and how it works and how they can just keep finding new spots of oil with one drill and how they're upgrading from like a couple to like 30.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's insane. So when you have people who are down to receive that kind of free cash flow on their farm that they inherited from their deceased parents, it's really hard to fight that kind of thing. However, I will say I just read an article a week or two ago that said solar jobs in the United States surpassed coal jobs.
Mm, wow, nice.
So that's pretty cool. Anyways, cool. We can move on now.
Like those are good ones.
My number one was the failure of the Republicans' health care bill. That is so amazing. Yeah. They have the House, they have the Senate, and they had 7 years to come up with a good plan.
Yeah, but they're too busy playing golf. They
didn't have anything. They've been too busy throwing rocks at Barack Obama. What happened was their bluff got called, and they didn't have anything. They had a 2-7 offseason.
They've been sitting around on their big stacks of cash with their thumbs up their ass. Boo! They haven't been doing shit.
I know. Incredible, right?
Except for maybe playing way too much golf.
It is amazing. Rarely do we see, like, I don't think that it has happened in the modern era where the chief legislative goal of the president in the first 100 days was not achieved.
Yeah.
It is, like, we don't see failure at this level. Because if you do your homework right, you know if it's going to be success, like, relatively. You know if it's going to be a success or not.
Yeah.
They didn't even do their homework on a very basic level. This shows an incompetency that is hard to fathom. Up and down that party. That whole party cannot govern. It is pathetic.
What I just remembered was how incompetent and disorganized their campaign was. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, but that's a tougher argument because they won. Like, they did go to Wisconsin.
Yeah, but it was still a mess, you know. And this is a reflection of how you can argue
on both sides, though, because they won. Though is the thing. So, like,
yeah, because they won, and also the thing is that campaigning and governing are a lot different.
Sure.
And so it doesn't like. So yeah, I mean, they have kind of like governed how they tried to campaign. The thing was that it was relatively effective in the campaign environment. Like, for instance, they didn't have to raise money. Like. But when you translate that to governing, like, they had an extremely small staff. An extremely small staff, when you lose an aircraft carrier, is obviously not good. You need more staff. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, those things don't translate.
Yeah. And John, I mean, it's a really good point. I mean, it's demonstrative of just the incompetency and their inability to govern. And two, it's just like a huge win for like the American people, regardless of your politics. Whether you know it or not, you get health care now.
You get affordable health care. It has locked in the principle of the federal government needs to provide healthcare, and healthcare needs to be a fundamental right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And
Jesus, it'd take us so long to get there in this country.
It took us through since like Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. Oh God. All right. My number one, everybody ready?
Yeah.
My number one is just the incredible, incredible conversations that Donald Trump has had with foreign leaders. And, like, the incredible relations that he's had with them. Everything from just, like, literally talking to, like, all these foreign leaders, being like, you're the best country, great country, wonderful people.
Oh, like he did with Pakistan?
Yeah, yeah, strongest country.
And did you guys read the Pakistan? The
yeah.
Yeah, oh my God.
It's incredible, And the translators were having problems translating for him because his words were so simple and like he just kept repeating so many words that they were like, and like people would be like, oh, well, what else did he say? Like that he just said that again.
Oh,
they're like,
my God.
Well, what else did he say? He's like, he didn't say anything else. He just repeated what he just said.
The joke he made with Merkel?
Oh, what was it?
It was, he was like, well, I guess we both have had our phones tapped by Obama now.
Oh my gosh.
And the look on Merkel, she double tanked. She literally, like, that woman is fucking stone cold, and she double tanked on camera.
Yeah.
Like, was amazing.
Yeah, and the whole thing of when he didn't shake her hand, which, like, who knows if he was just being an idiot or, but all of that. And all of that just points to me.
It's embarrassing.
Like, it's embarrassing and just like a complete inability to engage in foreign policy. Just like a total inability. Mm-hmm. Like when you talk to world leaders, you're like, you just became president of arguably the most powerful government in the world. When you talk to them, maybe you should be like, you know what, I want to make a point about something, or I want to bring something up to know that, you know, like, I know something that, like, or like, hey, if they've done some problematic things, maybe you want to be like, hey, I'm watching you in a nice way. And instead, great country, wonderful country.
Great just a quick question. If we made English the official language of the United States, do you think Donald Trump would qualify? Because, like, his English is so bad.
Yeah, I think he's at like a second or maybe third grade level, right?
Yeah.
So,
bigly.
But Blake, what was yours?
My number one, and this isn't like a policy he's enacted or anything, but it's just like a stance he's taken, would be how he's condemning the Russian probe or the investigation to their involvement at all with the election or with him getting elected, or how they may have infiltrated our city. Like, he's just, if he was innocent, I feel like he would be totally accepting of any investigation. He would be encouraging it. And instead, he's just trying to avoid it and like brush it off. And
so,
to me, that's very discouraging.
I'm starting to think what happened was is that him and his people didn't think they were going to win. And they were making these connections based on the fact that when Hillary Clinton was president, nobody would really care. And they were going to go out and just make a butt ton of money. Mm. And then they won. And then all of the shit became pretty fucking illegal and pretty fucking important. Mm-hmm. And I think they're scrambling now. Did you see Mike Flynn probably broke the law because he didn't register as a foreign agent? Washington Post.
I did see today. That. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that these guys got caught with their pants down, and now they're trying to scramble out of it. Like, they got caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is so amazing that, like, this is such a Bond movie. It's insane, but it's so much more complicated. It's like if Bond was...
It's like Bond meets Manchurian Candidate or something.
It's like if Lost and Bond had a baby, and it was 10 seasons long.
Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know. Let's... I think we should probably wrap it up, but my last question to ponder is, how close are we to impeachment?
It won't be until 2018.
Yeah, I've heard some interesting grumblings, which I don't, like, they're just grumblings from, like, friends of friends sort of thing, but, like, supposedly there are certain, like, it's a process to impeach somebody, and apparently there are just, like, certain mechanisms that have to be activated if you're considering that, and supposedly some of those mechanisms have been activated. Doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen, but it's like preliminary steps are being
taken. If Jason Chaffetz said after the grab him by the whatever video that he can't support Donald Trump because he can't look his wife and daughter in the eyes, and then like a week later re-endorse Donald Trump, these motherfuckers are not going to impeach him, period.
Right.
The only way that we get an impeachment is if the Democrats take back the House in 2018, which means everybody in the resistance needs to be working their asses off to elect Democrats to the House in 2018 so that we can get subpoena power so that we can go after him.
Right, right. Well, you know, if impeachment doesn't happen, 100 days down, 1,360 left to go.
All right, cool. Sorry.
Everybody pray.
Yeah, everybody pray.
Or whatever you do.
Cool.
Well, even if you don't pray, pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Just do something. Or, positive thoughts, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right, cool. All right, well, that about wraps it up then. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Ameripod.
Godspeed.
Monsters are under your bed.
Thank you.